Caught Offside with Andrew Gundling and JJ Devaney.
Oh, yes. Caught Offside from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Andrew Gundling and JJ Devaney. What's up, brother?
Tis a bleak December night. Like, a night that Edgar Allan Poe would have gazed upon and made comment or wrote a poem about a bird. That kind of bleak, wet, dreary night. That really is December. I said September, I think.
I don't know what you said. I
you phased out.
Yeah, immediately.
No, it's a
seconds in.
It's a rotten night in
only in weather, not in spirit. No, I'm feeling good. We've got we are here doing another podcast this week,
which you objected to strongly.
I just wasn't sure that we needed to do a second one, but you know what? You were right.
Well, Manchester United have a new manager.
You're right.
There was a Northland and Derby of note.
Yeah,
we have the semi-finals locked in for the Carling Cup. There was a US
what
for the Carling Cup.
Oh, you of all people to say that when
this is at stake.
It's disgraceful that you would still call it the Carling Cup.
Sometimes I call it the Rumbelows Cup. The Milk Cup.
But what a show. We will talk about the North London Derby, the second one at the Emirates in just a matter of weeks. Burton Albion also will be mentioned.
The Brewers.
Manchester United, like you mentioned, have appointed a new interim manager. We've got a mailbag, what to watch for, should be fun, and a thing that was mentioned on this podcast several weeks ago. I don't even remember how it started or whose idea it was, but it seems like this rap battle that people have wanted you and I to have is going to happen.
Because of overwhelming footballing trends. So first of all, we had Memphis Depay, who did his rap battle.
Right.
Because he got 5 million followers.
Well, it wasn't a battle. He just...
Or he did his rap. Right. Yeah. He did his... What they call it, freestyling.
Right.
Which was interesting. And then we had the response from the Motherwell player.
Right.
And now we've got Don Strapsy of the London grime scene. He's rapping. You know, everyone knows Don Strapsy.
Who is he?
He's like a... He's a London-based, a Lewisham-based rapper.
Okay.
And he's not just referencing one footballer in his raps. He's referencing two. You should probably play it for the people right now. My G, I see the game different, like I'm watching it through Messi's eyes. Man can't play in the jungle and think I'll let it slide.
G, I'm breaking up the play, I think I'm Declan Rice. Wow.
I tell you, it's a heck of a jump from Messi to Declan Rice.
And it's a heck of a bar that he has set for you and I.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to rap like, yeah, blood, we're here in Lewisham. I'm with my main man, Andrew Gundling. The rap's falling apart already,
you've
bro.
You've got some work to do. And at least I have set a low bar already, because of the two of us, only one of us has provided this. EPL, back for more. That is hardly a rap, but it's where I'm at musically. So that should be fun. So we each, a little bit later on in the podcast, we've each prepared, like, we've got three little pieces of scrap paper where we've written
three,
a different topic.
Right.
And then we'll have the other person choose from our pile, and they'll have, like, that will be the basis of what you're going to rap about.
Absolutely. I will also unveil my Christmas present to you, because I didn't bring it with me because it was going to get destroyed in the rain.
Here we go.
It exists.
But you can see why I'd be skeptical.
Yeah. And I'm skeptical about yours now, because yours, for me, is not going to arrive until January.
I was told by Amazon somewhere between January 4th and January 22nd, because it has to be made. Mm. And by the way, of the two of us, only one has actually gotten a gift for the other. I bought you that Jurgen Klopp book.
That's right. Which I carry with me.
It's still in here somewhere.
Emotional football.
Yeah. Oh, man, though. This should be fun. We start off with the Carabao Cup. Tottenham go back to the Emirates, JJ, and they turn it around, and they win 2-0 in a game that felt amazing for Spurs supporters, as Spurs are into the semifinals of the Carabao Cup.
Yes, and for some reason, it prompted Piers Morgan, he of the Arsenal faction and former CNN presenter, to don a Spurs shirt. Some kind of bet happened. He also drew the balls for the semifinal draw and put Burton Albion in with Man City. But it was him. He watched the game in the most delicious place he could watch it.
Yeah.
Right above the travelling fans at the Emirates, which was just fantastic.
Three seats down from Peter Crouch,
who also conducted the draw with him, which was just wonderful.
Yeah.
And then he had to wear a Spurs jersey afterwards as Arsenal were knocked out. Perfect.
Yeah.
But speaking of inspirations, and I'm sure that the goading of Piers Morgan is for a lot of Tottenham fans. Oh, I just can't, just to see that smile wiped off his face. I'm sure that's part of it. But on the field, Danny Rose spoke about how the behaviour of Arsenal players, some of whom had only played 10 games for the club and was their first North London derby, their behaviour in the 4-2 league win at the Emirates was, what's the word, bulletin board material?
Yeah, here is the quote from Danny Rose. He said, "We had the motivation of getting to the semi-final, but the cherry on top was silencing them. Just remembering they won a game at the beginning of December and they're celebrating like they won the league. We're over the moon. We've put that result right. We'll see where they are come the end of the season. We'll see where we are. We are fully relishing the opportunity. Our only motivation was remembering the nonsense that Arsenal posted on social media after the game a few weeks ago. That was our motivation. Players that have only played 10 games for Arsenal were getting ahead of themselves. We use that in a positive way. Karma is a, it's a, you know, they fully deserve what they got, Arsenal." Wow.
It's coming out hot.
You know what? I love this rivalry so much. So I kind of love all of it.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed when they played in the league a few weeks back when Eric Dier scored and shushed the crowd. By the same token, I then had no problem with Steven Lichtsteiner shoving Eric Dier for doing that.
It's part of the pageantry.
To me, it's kind of weird that it's like Danny Rose is talking about guys who have barely played for Arsenal that are acting this way. Lichtsteiner kind of fits the mold, but I understand like a guy who has some pride in his team and isn't going to allow that. Like, so, and then I was fine with, I'm not going to call it a melee, but the pushing and shoving that happened afterwards. I'm fine with Arsenal celebrating it maybe a little bit more over the top than they would another game. I'm fine with Tottenham taking motivation from that and talking about it after they win. That, like, I like every element of this rivalry just continuing to like build and build upon itself.
Can I say something that's, it's not off topic, but it's connected. So Liverpool FC TV do this behind the scenes, no talking heads, no commentary video, like a kind of an all-access video of their big games, and they put it on YouTube. And you know what I noticed from it? There was several shots of Klopp and Mourinho and Klopp and Ashley Young and Henderson before the game.
Mm-hmm. Being friendly?
The bonhomie was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So both captains go into the locker room with the referee before the game and the managers. Because it's a high-profile game, I guess the ref wants to lay down a few rules before the game starts, which is interesting. I'd never seen it before. And I knew things like that happened, but this was really interesting behind-the-scenes stuff. But if you were looking for tension, or if you were looking for the kind of reactions Gary Neville, the steely face Gary Neville and Roy Keane used to have in the tunnel when they'd be going to play Liverpool or Arsenal, it wasn't there. Mourinho was amiable, soft, full of bonhomie, full of stories with and backslapping with Klopp. Like the poison was gone out of it.
Yeah, I don't want that.
No, you don't want
that. I don't want that.
If you're a supporter, you'd be very, not upset to see it, but you'd be like, why am I getting so worked up if they're not?
Well, that's the thing. And look, I'm not so naive as to think that, you know, players who, like, they do care. I don't mean to imply that they don't care about these derby matches or they don't care about what it means to don the shirt that they're wearing.
No,
I'm not saying that, but, like, I'm not so naive to understand that they view it as a business.
Now, I don't believe there should be like Keane versus Vieira punching walls in the tunnel, that kind of tension in every single game. That's not what I'm saying. But it looked as if Mourinho had been neutered. Seriously, like in terms of his persona. And it's such a stark contrast to what's happening and what's brewing and bubbling between Emery and Poch.
Yeah, you sometimes wonder if players do care as much as many of the supporters do. And maybe some don't. Maybe they care for different reasons than the supporters do. But, you know, I do enjoy like this from Danny Rose. Like, as a Tottenham supporter, I like knowing that there's a guy on my club that cares, that is looking at the same kind of thing of Arsenal's, the way they celebrated after that, and is feeling the same way that the fans were,
that
I was.
He's there long enough to kind of imbibe the culture of that fixture. And I didn't like when proper football men like Paul Merson used to say, nah, they don't understand the North London derby. They don't get it. They've got their headphones. They've come from foreign. They're from, you know, out foreign. They don't understand it. And I used to never buy into that because look at the way Vieira bought into it, and look at the way Petit, and look at the way we'll say, for example, people from on the Spurs side, like Edgar Davids, when he played in those games, he cared. Mm-hmm. So I never really bought that. But I think it definitely takes a while for it to sink in. And I love the best sign of a player that you know he's on your side is when he gets stuck in those derbies. When he straight away kind of, you've bought him a matter of months and he's sliding two-footed into it.
Right, you know.
And so I'm with you. Like, when Lichtsteiner pushed and got involved, he gets it.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it. I was cool with all of it. You want that. You don't want that taken out of the game. Probably what you want taken out of the game is the fans feeling so invested that they think they should throw bottles onto the field, as what happened at the Emirates and Dele Alli.
Yeah. With Tottenham up 2-0, fairly late in the game, Dele Alli was near the sideline, a bottle hit him in the head, and I would say it's hard to handle that more coolly than he did.
Very calm.
He got hit by it, and then he just held up the 2-0 with his fingers to the crowd, which was kind of, I wasn't sure if he was doing that just to goad the crowd or if that was also kind of taking a shot, because you remember when Arsenal beat Tottenham in the FA Cup a few years back, Theo Walcott, he tore his ACL,
yeah,
I believe, but as he was being carried off, Tottenham fans were heckling him,
yeah,
which is not awesome, but whatever, and he held up the 2-1 scoreline,
right,
that Arsenal were leading by. I was wondering if Dele Alli was kind of making fun of that or if it was just like completely unrelated, but then he posted something funny about it on social media.
Yeah.
With, like, somebody took an amazing still shot of the bottle in midair about 3 feet from Alley's head, and Dele Alli just staring at it like knowing what's about to happen. He had like a funny thing that he wrote about it. So he did handle it actually pretty well. Some guys would have like gone down and holding their head, lost their minds. He
sure
just like shook it off and whatever, went on with his day.
I'll tell you what was striking. Mm. See what I did there?
I'm assuming you're going to say something now about a striker.
No, what was striking?
Oh, the bottle striking his head.
After not just the bottle striking, but his wonderful performance, his excellent goal.
Yeah.
But more than that was what Daniel Story tweeted out after the game. Dele Alli has reached 75 club goals at the age of just 22, so that's across all competitions. Steven Gerrard was on the same number at the age of 27, and Frank Lampard at 26. So, like, this is a midfielder who, an attacking midfielder who is really doing some amazing things at a young age.
Yeah, it's incredible where he's at. And he's kind of an enigma in that when he got to Spurs, he got off to this scorching hot start. He was unbelievable, and you already started to hear things right out of the gate about, oh, Real Madrid and all that stuff. And then remember, like, he kind of, I'm not going to say disappeared, but like his influence on games, I felt like, started to wane a little bit.
Last season.
Yes.
Myself and my girlfriend, who you know is a huge Spurs fan,
yeah,
we went to Spurs Roma at Harrison, New Jersey at Red Bull Arena, and he didn't look fit. And he'd spent the summer in Los Angeles. He'd rented a place out there, and there was lots of videos where they were playing the hippity hop and they were in the swimming pool and they were having a grand old time, as you would when you're a young man with money. But he looked overweight. He looked, not, I don't mean like ballooned, you know, he didn't, yeah, look like Chef Boyardee, but but at the same time, he looked a little bit off.
Yeah.
And he took him a while to get going that season, last season, if you remember.
And it's funny, too, because he'll have these games where he'll score. And that's great, because that's what the game is about.
But he might not be in the game.
But he might not do anything else.
Yeah.
But he certainly, you know, after missing some games earlier this season with injury, he's back. And he's been excellent for them. Son with the goal to open it. After Gazzaniga had a huge save on Mkhitaryan where I couldn't believe he didn't score.
By the way, Gazzaniga looks like a man who could wear a suit. He's very fashionable. And also what he is perfecting, probably, I would say Jordan Pickford is a bit ahead of him right now, but the side volley pass, that you've noticed goalkeepers are no longer doing the old lofted punt into the air.
Right.
It's
they're actually trying to make a pass, like a sensible
out
pass.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Right, it's like Ederson, you know, the assist that, remember, he had to Aguero.
He did, but if I remember, that was off the ground. I'm talking like,
yeah,
from the hand.
I remember now, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Right, I'll take your word.
But from the hand, this kind of side volley Gaelic football pass. Mm-hmm. Gazzaniga's, Andrew, he's pinged that.
Yeah, he sparked the attack.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking, in the space of a few years, we're looking at goalkeepers now. I'm going to, it used to be, remember, Schmeichel had the long throw out, which was, you know, really good and is still a weapon. I'll tell you, he is very good with his feet. Spurs might have a job to hang on to him, as we're talking about people they struggle to have. Well,
I will say
he's that very good, Andrew. And how long is he going to want to be number two to Lloris, who is in goalkeeping years young? So
you're right. Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm very impressed with him.
Yeah, he has been very impressive. Son, like I said, scoring that goal to start it. He is now going to be, it's been announced, is going to be leaving Spurs to go play in the Asia Cup in, when is that, mid-January through February. So Tottenham, this was after he missed the beginning of the season
Didn't
to go play in the Asian Games.
Oh, for God's sake.
Which is now allowing him, because they won the gold in that, it's allowed him to not have to partake in his military service in South Korea, which is why Tottenham allowed him to go play in that. But now they came up to an agreement with South Korea that they would, that Son would miss the first two group stage matches because it allows him to play for Spurs against Manchester United. After the Manchester United match, he's going to leave Tottenham. He's going to go play for South Korea in the Asian Cup. And if South Korea do, it depends on how far they go. Obviously, no offense to Son, I love him dearly, which is why I want them to crash out immediately and lose. And like,
but they're going to be
quickly
favorites.
As possible. They'll be one of the favorites, I'm sure. But I mean, some of the game he's going to miss. Most likely the second leg against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup semifinal.
See, to me, that is unbelievably annoying.
What are you
going to
do? It is. It's extremely annoying. But, you know, it happens all the time with guys who play in the Africa Nations Cup. Right. So, you know, this is a thing that you have to try to navigate. And it's a shame because he is now hitting his form. He got off to the slow start when he came back from the Asian Games. He wasn't himself. Now, I mean, you watch him now, right now, and he's scorching hot. So hopefully, you know, some of their league games during that time, I think there's Watford, I think there's Newcastle. So hopefully they can sustain some of that within the league. But man, it's unfortunate. They do have depth. Eric Lamela, you know, hasn't been playing quite as much. If he's in form, he can be a great player for them. So that'll be interesting to see. I don't have too much more on this game. I did want to say, though, because we talked a little bit about this on the last podcast, about how when Arsenal beat Tottenham, the way that fans seemed to feel after that game, it felt like a potential seminal moment in each team's season.
Mm.
And since then, their seasons are kind of going in the opposite direction of where you thought. I'm not meaning to say that Arsenal are falling apart.
No.
But I saw this tweeted from a guy that I follow on. He's a good, if you're a Spurs fan, I enjoy him as a Spurs follow, Billy T. He wrote, so since Arsenal did a lap of honor, took selfies, and did DVD commentary for beating Spurs, they've gone back 5 points behind Tottenham, lost their unbeaten run, and been knocked out of the cup by Spurs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't need to go over this ground as we did it on Tuesday's pod, but it really is personnel issues. Nothing has changed at the back. The centre halves they have when they are fit aren't good enough. And again, we saw last night he switched to a four and played Xhaka in the centre of that four. You don't want that. It's not good enough. The early stages of the game last night, Andrew, they played some lovely stuff. I mean, let's be honest, Mkhitaryan should have had two goals to start off with.
Not.
I don't know. And there was lovely interplay. Ramsey was to the four. Aubameyang to the four. They've got a lot going right up front. But nothing has changed at the back.
This is probably part of a bigger conversation that I don't know that we're going to have right now on this podcast, because we are going to move on. But we talk about Manchester United. Oh, problems at the back, their center halves. We talk about Arsenal. Oh, their center halves, there's issues there. You know, even sometimes now we're starting to see it, I feel like, a little bit with Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, oh, center halves. Like, at what point do we start to say that just maybe there's not that many good players at that position? I feel comfortable. Like, I think Tottenham are for the most part, solid.
You've stockpiled them.
Right. They're rock solid there. You know, but even Manchester City, right now I feel good about them. But even when they were winning titles a few years ago, that was their weakness.
Right.
Was that,
but don't forget that possession. Possession has become such a big thing for City. It's a form of defense. If you don't have the ball, that's not going to be exposed as much.
Right.
Can I say this to you? Just do a little mental exercise. Look at Jan Vertonghen. And then look at Virgil van Dijk. And then think of the Arsenal defenders. And that just... Mustafi, Papastathopoulos. Just look at those players.
Yeah. I just think that there's kind of like a shortage of high-quality talent at that position. And maybe that's because we're in an era where just, you know, everybody wants to score goals. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
But. Yeah, I don't know if we have the defenders. We certainly don't have the Cannavaros, the Maldinis. We don't have those kind of players anymore.
Yeah.
Not as many of them, anyway.
So we're going to move on and talk. Well, the other semifinal, Manchester City, they won. Burton Albion won, and Man City is going to play Burton Albion. Tottenham are going to play Chelsea, who scored in the 84th minute, Eden Hazard. So it'll be Spurs, Chelsea, Man City, Burton Albion, like, it's January 8th.
It's unbelievable what the Brewers have done and what Nigel Clough has done. And it's kind of great to have a Clough at this point in the competition. It's kind of almost like a throwback. They're League One. Wigan were League One when they knocked out Manchester City in the FA Cup last year. But that was a one and done. This is two legs. You can't. This is going to be over in the first leg, you'd fear, for Burton. Even though they've beaten a good team in Middlesbrough, a good championship team.
Stop.
But, yeah, this is...
You're talking about Manchester City.
This is...
The nerve of
I
you.
I know. I'm trying to make...
What? What are you trying to do? Compare Middlesbrough to Manchester City.
No, what I'm saying is it's a great achievement by Burton to get this far, but it's...
Yes, well, that is true.
It's a damn shame for them that it's a two-legged affair. They had a possibility... Just like Wigan did last.
You're right. Who knows what can happen on any given week.
But that's not. I just can't see it.
No.
It's so hard to visualize it.
Yeah.
But we'll all be Brewers fans that night, won't we?
It is. Yeah. Oh, certainly. Oh my God. It is funny how this competition is, we're kind of instructed to not take it quite as seriously as the FA Cup, obviously the league, obviously the Champions League. But, you know, the competition can become as meaningful as the circumstances will allow. For example, if you look at Tottenham, let's say they go on and win this thing, that will mean that they will have beaten Arsenal and then Chelsea and then presumably Manchester City. Yeah. You can't tell me as a Spurs fan that that's not meaningful.
No, and look at the way we all tuned in for Arsenal Manchester City in the final last season. It was a huge game.
Yeah.
If Arsenal thought they could win that, like, it was, what a great way. Like you said, the circumstance. What a great way to send Wenger off, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Look, if you want to put, it's like the FA Cup. It's exactly what you said. You can make the FA Cup as meaningless as you want.
Right.
You apply the meaning to it, and circumstance can often do the job for you.
And circumstances are certainly doing it here. They've given us a pretty compelling Final Four for those set of matches. Manchester United, JJ, we want to talk about their appointment. We hinted at it when Daniel Story was on with us the other day. He said that it was most likely going to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer who comes in and is the interim appointment, and that is now confirmed. I don't really know what's to be made of this. I don't know if there's anything he can do,
I think,
to make this a permanent solution for United. I would say probably not.
No. His last stint in management in England was terrible. He took over Cardiff City in January 2014 and was out by September 18th, having relegated the team. Well, not, he wasn't just him. They were bad. I remember in particular they shipped 6 goals at home to Liverpool as Liverpool went on that title run. Apart from him being a legend, apart from him being a sop to the fans, apart from him being a galvanizing force to come in, apart from him being not Mourinho, this is this. Even if this does work, as we sit here without him having kicked a ball, it's an absolutely mental thing to do. It's nuts.
What do you mean?
It's
him to take on this assignment.
He is a manager of a small Norwegian club in Molde, and he's done well with them. He's won championships with them. Last season they finished second, and he's done a decent job there, but. What other circumstance, apart from his playing career and his brief period as a coach in the youth team at Manchester United, you know, apart from those things, he is just not qualified to be the manager of Manchester United. He if you look at, say, what even Jaap Stam did in English football at Reading, he's better qualified to take this job. Michael Carrick, you can make an argument.
Well,
he's in situ, and I guess they didn't want the perception of anything of the old regime from Mourinho to continue on. This is very much a shiny bauble for the fans and a shot to nothing. There's no other way to read this. This is, honestly, were they not just as well roll the dice and give it Giggsy till end of season? Not give it to Giggsy, but, you know. I mean, you could say Steve Bruce is more qualified for it. But there would be uproar because Steve Bruce has...
I don't think that they want to bring in a recycled name I think that they wanted somebody fresh who, like you say, like, maybe they are trying to win the press conference a little bit, which doesn't usually end well.
No,
I find.
It doesn't. But if you're looking at a guy to come in and organize a back four for a potential, not a potential, the on the horizon meeting of PSG, yeah. This is not the manager you would
no,
pick.
No, probably not. Although here is what he did say about the upcoming matchup for Manchester United this weekend. He says he's not focused on the opponent or worrying about that at all.
I've watched Premier League. I've seen all the teams. So I've got a little bit of a view on them, but it's not about the opposition. It's about us. It's about Man United. It's about our players knowing what they can do. We want to see them express themselves. So my main focus, of course, will be on us, how we want the team to play. And then we'll give them one or two details about the opposition.
There was one line in there that I would imagine would make most Manchester United fans perk up a little bit.
Express themselves.
Bingo.
There's also, I don't think it's even enough to call it a subtext to this, but I will say it. He was briefly a coach of Paul Pogba in Pogba's first stint at the club. Now, when Pogba sees him return, a character from his youth, a legend from the club, and also a guy who's talking about expressing yourself, you know the pressure is who the pressure is on most now. It's not on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's on
Pogba.
It's on Pogba.
Certainly.
Absolutely. You've got what you've wanted now.
Right, you won.
You won. The celebrations on the training ground are over because Michael Carrick told you to stop them. Now show us what kind of a footballer you are.
Right.
Are you a Manchester United footballer? It's going to be intriguing from that sense. And Cardiff and Neil Warnock are there. Oh, delicious irony that it's Solskjaer going back to the club he relegated for his first game. It's very, very interesting to me. Also, I pulled out a bit of audio that was sent to me by someone on Twitter. And don't underplay how red this manager is and how much he loves Manchester United.
This is him talking.
After getting thumped by Liverpool, as Liverpool were heading towards a title, that never happened.
Sort of.
And this was his reaction to a question about. While he was at Cardiff.
Yeah.
And just finally, you've played in title-winning teams at Manchester United. Would you assess Liverpool as a potential title winner this season?
Couldn't care less.
Nice.
Can I tell you my story? So I promised people on Twitter I would regale them with this. So I'm working for my local newspaper in Sligo. It's the summer of 2013. It's 30 degrees, beautiful day, and Molde are in town for the first round of the Champions League. The preliminary round. Because Sligo Rovers were Irish champions. And the buzz is there because Solskjaer is manager of Molde. And he comes in and they win 1-0. So I'm in the press room afterwards. And I've got my audio, I've got my notes written, and I'm going to go off afterwards and write my piece about the game. And I went up, and there's a few journalists gathered around, and you know me, in social situations.
Shameless
and straight to the point.
Right.
So I stuck out my hand, I said, Ole, I'm delighted to meet you. And he fixed me with those blue eyes, and they are kind of piercing, and he does look younger than the age he actually is. So I shook hands with him. I said, listen, I thought you were a fantastic player, brilliant player. And even though I'm a Liverpool fan, I just wanted to shake your hand. You would think that's really nice.
Yeah.
He didn't move a muscle in that face. His eyes fixed me. And he said straight up, with no jocularity, if I'd have known you were a Liverpool fan, I wouldn't have shaken your hand. And I'm quiet for a second, and there's a gaggle of journalists room, and of course they're sycophants like a lot of journalists are, and so
they laughed wildly.
So I'm there like this, and I would have laughed if I know banter, I know jokes.
Yeah,
this wasn't a joke. Now, does that mean he is some kind of hatred for Liverpool or anything like that? No, because I've heard he's a thoroughly decent guy, but he is United to the core. He knows nothing else. Remember all those times he was linked with Tottenham as a player? Never went. Most of his appearances, off the bench. He's a serious guy in terms of getting the fans on side.
Yeah.
He's a good appointment from that point of view.
That's pretty cool that happened. I mean, I'm sorry you were the butt of a joke and that like there was a room full of people laughing at you.
But I was dressed up. I had a lovely shirt on. I had the pants, the shoes on. I was full kit journal dude for this game. The sun was shining. My club, my local hometown club, are in the Champions League. It was a big deal. And he just, like that, shot me down.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not even close, 10 being a river, how close were you to crying in that moment?
I wasn't, I was.
Okay,
oh, he put me... Listen, metaphorically, he left me on my arse.
Yeah.
Like, he... It was just so cold. Chop
it
down.
I kind of like it. I respect that. Like,
so my dad was in the pub across the road. Mm-hmm. And so I'm finished up. I'm going to go home, write my piece, but I'm going to have a pint with my dad. And so I'm there like this. And I said, you won't believe what happened. And I told him, and he goes, you didn't respond. You didn't have anything witty. I was like, I was floored.
Yeah. What could you say there?
What could I say?
I think you
there?
Just have to let it end.
I think you do.
Yeah. The job that he will be fighting to keep, he's fighting it because it seems now that they are really going to put the screws to Spurs regarding Pochettino. It seems like he is the marked man. We figured this, and it has become obviously the top story around Tottenham, and they do not seem to be handling it well. JJ, this is a snippet from their press conference, and the guy you'll be hearing is essentially their media relations press officer. You'll hear a very minimal bit from Pochettino himself. But this is how Tottenham will be handling this situation moving forward.
We've gone over Manchester United and the manager before. No, anything to do with Manchester United. We've had 48 hours ago the same conversations. I'm not prepared. The manager's answered. I'm not prepared to have another press conference dominated by this. Well, your man was here on Tuesday and asked the same questions. So I'm not prepared to have it again. So I'd ask you to move on.
With respect, everybody is talking about this.
Okay, and with respect, I'd say move it on because we invite you here to preview a football match. And you're coming in and you're asking our manager about another job.
Well, that's both ways, though. There are other occasions where you'd say...
I'm sorry.
Let's not talk about the football match because you want to get something else out. It works both ways.
No.
Surely.
No. Move it on, please.
Can I ask, in that case, everything that's happening at the moment, I just want to tell you what Les Reed had said.
No. No. I'm sorry.
You're going to be the start of the press conference.
I know, I don't like it.
Nice. We should be.
Wanna go? Move it on, please, Darmish.
I'm saying is this is going to carry on for months. Right?
Okay, fine. Let people speculate. We're not having our press conferences dominated by it. There's plenty else to talk about.
I mean, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of a press conference.
It's also a fundamental misunderstanding of reality.
Yeah.
Like, I love this club. I support this club. But are they living in a fantasy world?
You can't stick your head in the sand on this one. You know what you've got to do. Brief Poch if you want, give him a company line or whatever, regardless of what talks are going on, if you want to deliver him a company line, but you can't go out there and stonewall the media about this.
No.
It's not going to stop.
When does that work?
Never. Never. It's look, I don't know the guy. I understand he's probably been instructed maybe to try and deflect as much as possible, but he's gone way over the top.
By the way, like, they're asking the media... not to ask questions about this, which is, to me, it's inappropriate. The media has a job to do.
Yes.
There's a general interest out there.
Yeah.
We're talking about two of the best clubs in Europe right now, most high-profile clubs in Europe, and manager possibly switching team. Like, it's a huge story. This is their own... This is Poch's doing, essentially. If they don't want questions to be asked about it, then he can crush it. Say, I am the manager of Tottenham. I am not interested in the Manchester United job. My focus is here. If people want to speculate, that's on them.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And look, it may not be true, but after he says that, how many more questions can you really ask? And if it's not true and he does wind up leaving later on and people want to call him a liar, he can say, well, in that moment, that was how I felt.
Right.
Circumstances
sure.
changed. I'm allowed to change my mind, but that was how I felt. I wasn't lying when I said it. Like, he can crush this. So, you know, I think Pochettino maybe is enjoying playing coy here a little bit because maybe he enjoys negotiating potentially through the media. Like I said, I don't know that he wants to leave for United, but it doesn't hurt him that Daniel Levy maybe thinks he does.
No, it doesn't hurt the spending power he may have come the summer or in January. Yeah.
This is like, if this is how they're handling it on day two, I mean, come on. What are they thinking? Well, like, they have to get a better hold of the situation, where they meet with some of these reporters back behind the scenes and really talk it out and come up with some plan, because this isn't a story that's going to go away. It's crazy.
Yeah, and also as well, I'm glad that journalist, Dharmesh, said what he said, because this is the way the media has gone, or how large sporting organizations want it to go. We invite you in when we've got something to flog or something to push or something to sell, and you write about it. But you don't get to ask us questions that may leave us uncomfortable, which is a terrible dynamic, and has hurt sports and has hurt the media and has hurt openness and transparency and ultimately hurts the fans.
Yeah. So it's not going to work. And look, honestly, none of it is really that meaningful. Whatever answer Pochettino's going to give to the question that the reporter's going to ask, it's going to be a nothing answer anyway.
Yeah,
but
right.
That's besides the point.
The question, he's not doing his job if he does not ask that question. Yeah. That's the other side to it.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, the U.S. Men's National Team January Camp roster has been released.
Yes, and I realized I added it to the rundown, and now I have very little to say.
Yes, which is fine. But there is one thing that Greg Berhalter said that I want to read to you that I found somewhat interesting, and it will send many of the listeners to this podcast into a frenzy. So we've got that coming up for you. Don't go anywhere.
Beckham into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has won it!
Oh, back now on Caught Offside. Ah, yes. They'll be trying to replicate that at Manchester United. There's no question about that.
One of the definitive moments of the Fergie era, if not the definitive moment of the Fergie era.
And honestly, one of the definitive moments in the history of that competition, of the Champions League, that famous goal.
Quite incredible.
Yeah. JJ, also incredible. Well, nah, I'm not even going to go there. I was going to say this roster that the U.S.
It's cobbled together from what they can get.
Yeah, look, they had to do it. If you look at it, it's exclusively MLS players.
We might have a couple of guys who are in Denmark, because they'll be on their winter break, maybe added.
Yeah,
it might go to,
yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
The omissions from this, like, you could say, oh, there's no Jozy Altidore. He's an MLS player. Why? Greg Berhalter says he's not there because he's recovering from an injury.
He's not fit yet.
Berhalter said he may even come in for a day or two just to observe and get like a lay of the land of how things are going. There's no Brad Guzan on this. The keepers are Alex Bono, Sean Johnson, and Tyler Miller, and Zach Steffen. But Berhalter says Guzan's not included because he's going to have a new manager at Atlanta that he will be getting acclimated with at that time, presumably. So there is one name, of course, that is on here that I'm sure, you know, people can read all these other. Oh, Will Trapp is there. Oh, Reggie Cannon. Oh, cool. Greg Gard. Michael Bradley.
Bum, bum, bum.
Berhalter says this about Bradley's inclusion. He said, I truly believe that this is an opportunity for Michael to show his value to the group, Berhalter said during a conference call on Thursday. So we're excited to see him and how he works through his training camp and meeting the team and also contributing to what we're trying to do on the field. They're not phasing him out.
No, and I think we warned people that it didn't matter what manager was going to come in. Michael Bradley was going to be involved in some way. His experience, his sheer number of caps. No manager starting off is going to want to just dispense with that straight away. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he can pass the ball in the way you like to, whether you think he controls the game, whether you think he can track back and make tackles, none of that's relevant. He's going to come in and he's obviously going to have a look at him. What would it have looked like for the January USMNT MLS squad to come together and he wouldn't be a part of it? Like, it was never going to happen.
No, probably not. To hear him say how he wants to see Michael show his value to the group, that is interesting to me because of some of what we heard, the off-the-field kinds of things, Bradley's leadership styles, things like that. You know, I can't speak to it. I can't say that I've been on the sideline to watch the way he interacts with other players. But you hear rumblings and things now that, you know, some players have a hard time playing with him.
It's also an open-ended comment, so you can read it two ways.
Yeah.
I can read it, he's going to show his value to the group. He's a leader. He's going to show all his leadership skills, etc. He's going to show his value to the group. He's going to prove himself.
That's true.
You can see it both ways.
But I think Berhalter is probably curious to see how, you know, if Bradley has been humbled at all by everything that has gone on. And I think he wants, you know, He wants to see it up close and personal. He wants to have his own firsthand take on it. And I think that's fair. And I think Bradley should be at that camp. And I think people shouldn't be surprised if he's on their Gold Cup roster over the summer.
No, they shouldn't.
You can be angry about it, but like we've said, brace yourselves because it's probably going to happen. Let's see. You have a mailbag.
Indeed have a mailbag. CutoffsidePod@gmail.com, @CUSSoccerPod on Twitter. Thank you so much for your contributions the last few days. You guys are the best. I will only read one email today. We will get to emails next week. Sebastian Zaire. JJ Devaney, your take on the pod in regards to Sir Alex being partially to blame for the debacle at Manchester United is 100% spot on. As a United supporter, I felt this way for quite some time, but no one wants to mention it. Hashtag Mourinho out. He definitely played a part in it. Wasn't the whole reason, but the way he left the club, without a director of football, without squad turnover. And then there was the opposite. Armando Garma, listening to the latest Atsuo Soccer Pod, you were absolutely right about Fergie being partly responsible for the state of the club when he left. However, there have been three managers since he left in 2013. That's plenty of time to rectify the ship. Upper management is to blame. Paul Risdell, have you read the club, how the English Premier League became the wildest, richest, most disruptive force in sports? I just started reading it and it's fascinating. Authors Clegg and Robinson would be great interviews for the pod.
I believe working on it.
We're working on it right now. Please clap. Hey guys, another wonderful pod this week. One thing I disagreed with you though, you said no United player improved under Mourinho. I would add the one exception of Jesse Lingard, who I think took a massive step.
Okay, that's fair.
It's fair, but I would remind, please clap, John Kahn, that he wasn't even guaranteed a starting spot. You never knew when he was going to play. Zach B retweeted Scott Bryan, who is a BuzzFeed guy. In this spirit, caught offside, you guys are top-notch. Look forward to the pod every week. Happy holidays to you both, and come on you Spurs. And it was Scott Bryan who tweeted this. What I've learned this year, if you like someone's content, TV show, podcast, blog, Twitter feed, play, whatever, tell them. You'd be surprised at how little praise people receive for doing something that's effing great because you think they're already getting it. I think that applies.
Yeah. It's very nice to hear.
Thank
truly.
You. Thank you, Zach. And that does apply. Andre Milan pointed this out. Hadji Wright scored yesterday, so I guess this means we need to hear from Sally Field.
You like me.
A Weston McKinney corner lands on the head of former New York Cosmos player Hadji Wright.
It's all happening.
I'm telling you. The Bundesliga will soon be the Bund-Us-Liga. Huh? Balbi Straganovsky. Great pod this week as always, boys. By the way, this tweet I'm about to read, we got six or seven of them, which makes me wonder why people listen to this podcast. Certainly not for the football.
What do you mean?
By the way, the Sega Master System actually came before the Sega Genesis, or in other markets, the Sega Mega Drive, and competed with the original NES and was more popular in Europe and South America.
Really?
That is true. The
Sega Master System.
No, the Mega Drive. The Master System was first in Europe, then the Mega Drive came along. Which was called the Genesis here, I believe. The Mega Drive was huge back home, but the only game I ever played on it was at my cousin's house, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Great game. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm going to read just this one email. Luke from Brisbane in Australia. Would Roy Keane be a good choice as United manager?
No.
While he may not have the managerial record, he has the playing record, especially for United. He knows the United way to play, and he will definitely give all these players the kick up the backside they need. I think that last sentence is the problem.
Right. I'm not saying that there's not a place for him to be a manager, but is this really the right time for Manchester United to go from a disciplinarian manager in Mourinho that clashed with the team to maybe the one guy in soccer who's more of that?
Yeah. Don't forget, this is a man who in the last 2 months had a physical, a verbal and physical altercation with two players in the Ireland camp.
Right. Like, what would United be thinking to make that appointment? Like, okay, this style that we've been going along with, it's clearly not working. So let's take that style and put it on steroids.
Yeah.
Do something different.
Roy Keane is probably in the top five greatest ever United players. He's certainly one of the greatest ever United captains. Everything in management suggests he cannot transfer that playing capabilities into management. We've seen a lot of this.
And some of that is maybe on just like the modern day athlete.
Right. They don't respond to that. Pogba, could you imagine?
It wouldn't work. It would never work.
Keane pressed up to Pogba's face, screaming at him. He was on Sky at the weekend, by the way. Talk about inviting in a man to preside over the funeral. He was on Sky for the Liverpool-Manchester United game. And one of his talking points was Jesse Lingard should be more focused on his football now and not launching a brand of clothes. You know, this man is it wired differently.
Wouldn't work.
And that is the mailbag.
Yeah, and we should say that we actually got an awesome gift.
Oh, yes.
Sent to the station from Dan in California. Says he loves the pod, huge fan of all soccer, but he loves MLS in part because he enjoys going to the games with his family. He says, I'm very excited by how far the domestic game has come and where it's going. I've been trying to think of ways to back lower-level soccer, which I believe fuels the growth of the sport at all levels. I hit upon the simple idea of buying some gear, which I think is a fun way to support the game I love while getting some less mainstream stuff to wear. Maybe listeners can take up the same idea. So he sent you and I a couple shirts. He sent a Bethlehem Steel shirt. He sent a Reno
Football Club, which is just awesome. And these are really nice T-shirts. I would heartily endorse these products.
Yeah. Really.
They're awesome. What a nice thing to do.
Incredibly cool.
I can't wait to rock this bad boy.
Yeah. So thanks so much, Dan, in California. Truly appreciate it.
What a great guy.
JJ, it's time. It's rap battle time. So I've got my three pieces of scrunched up paper in front of me. So you'll choose one of these, and whatever you select here right now is going to be the topic that you have to formulate some kind of rap.
Some kind of freestyle. Well, it won't be freestyle. It'll be rehearsed. Okay, so will I pick first?
Yeah, sure.
All right, okay. So just put them down.
Take them from my hands uncomfortably.
We touched hands. All right, here we go. Mixing them around. And here we are. Ooh. All right, let's see. I have selected Brendan Rodgers.
Nice.
Oh, that is awesome. My rap will have... incredible character.
Yeah, what rhymes with tremendous character?
Tremendous character. Up in Glasgow, we show.
Yeah, are you going to do the whole thing in his accent?
Beautiful human being.
All right.
Wonderful. Oh, my God. Let me see what the other options were.
Yeah.
So that's Brendan Rodgers has been selected. That he's going to be World Cup expanding. Oh, my God. That would have been brutal. And VAR. All right, here we go. I've given you three.
Yeah.
And they're on tiny pieces of paper. Awkward hand touching.
Oh, my God. Why so little?
Just because I did it. I don't know.
Look how little one is.
But don't forget, I cut it down. That was 3 from 10. I made 10.
Okay.
So here we go.
And where is the magnifying glass?
You'll be able to read it. No problem. Just don't rip it. So here we go. Rap battle will be...
Alexi Lawless.
Oh, yes.
What am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do about Brendan Rodgers? You got to rap about Alexi Lawless.
Oh, God.
The other options were probably more suited to you.
Pulisic.
And the last one, I'll tell you, you avoided the booby trap because the last one was...
Oh, God. You wanted me to rap about financial fair play?
You wanted me to rap about World Cup expansion. All right. So we're going to freestyle.
Alexi Lawless. That's terrible.
Now why is it terrible?
Now I'm just, you know what? I'm out.
No, you've got to do it now.
Right. I guess we'll have that ready sometime, I guess, after the new year.
Yeah, well, something to look forward to.
We'll select our own beats.
Yeah, we've decided it's got to be fall into two categories. It's got to be actually really good and we get a record contract out of it, or it's got to be so awful.
EPL, back for more.
That you cringe.
Right. Can't be in between, because then it's just kind of,
it's nothing.
What do we do with this?
By the way, the clamor for you to release the full EPL back for more is...
I'm sorry, sometimes there are certain things that the long-time listeners of this podcast, back when almost no one listened, that's for them. They were with us from the start, they heard that, and they get it, then some people don't. I'm sorry. It will never be played again.
EPL back for more.
I give you that little taste every week, roughly. And that's all you get.
All I will say is that there is a line in it which shows your, you know, the way you can diversify your beats and your rhymes. There is a line in
Glenn Johnson to Stoke City.
Flawless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can write, but I'm not going to be able to rap. That's going to be the problem. Yeah. Let's see. What to deedle for? Saturday, 11:30 a.m. The World Club Cup Final.
To decide once and for all who is the best team in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got the matchup we wanted.
Yeah, Al Ain from the United Arab Emirates and Real Madrid from Spain.
Yeah.
Real Madrid getting here after Gareth Bale scoring 3 goals in 11 minutes.
Against Kashima Antlers of the J-League. And Al Ain humiliating River Plate by beating them, but just by beating them.
Well,
it didn't matter.
It wasn't really a humiliation.
Andrew, River Plate, this is one of the storied clubs of Argentinian and South American football, have lost to Alain. That's humiliation.
Yeah, look, I didn't see the game. I'm not going to sit here and try to analyze it.
Did you see the Alain team?
No.
Come on.
No,
Andrew,
I didn't.
This is humiliation. All right?
That will be Saturday at 11:30. So enjoy, everyone. Premier League Friday, 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Wolves and Liverpool.
Yes, a tricky trip to Molineux for the Liverpudlians.
Yeah, it really has been, or it really will be, mainly because Wolves' form this season against the top six has been excellent.
Yeah.
Where they've struggled has been against some of the lower-sided teams in the league.
Yeah, they've had some flat patches against those that they should be blowing away. But when the big sides come to town, I guess the big players that they've signed really are up for it.
Yeah. They need, like, if that is true, I would say be better than that. Like, if,
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I
so
just,
you're a liar.
Well, no, but if you think, like, Rui Patricio has been excellent. He's been there, but, like, Jimenez has been brilliant as well. They were particularly awesome against Chelsea. They've got Matt Doherty. They've got a good team. Maybe there is a motivational factor when they have to go to Huddersfield. Maybe.
Maybe. Saturday, 10 a.m., Manchester City and Crystal Palace. I have not seen if Wilfried Zaha will be playing or not, but something tells me that everything hinges on that.
If he doesn't play,
forget it.
They won't get off the team bus.
By the way, it's Man City at the Etihad. If he does play, they're in some trouble as well, I would think. Kevin De Bruyne is starting to round back into form. He scored midweek in their Carabao Cup.
What a goal.
Yeah. Now, look, it's funny. Like, we still talk about Manchester City, and it's like, oh, they're going to win, foregone conclusion, whatever. They're second. Liverpool are still top of the table. It's not just perfection right now for Man City.
Absolutely, but it's impossible for even Liverpool fans to get out of their mind that we are dethroning City. We are not top of the table. It's as if we're still chasing or trying to stay in touch when it's not the case now.
Saturday, 12:30 p.m., Cardiff City and Manchester United. We talked about this a little bit before. Solskjaer's first game in charge for United. And, of course, it's coming against his former team. That one, I will say, like, we've been so fascinated by United this season because of Jose Mourinho and just the whole sideshow with him. But what you mentioned before now becomes fascinating moving forward. Okay, like, you all got rid of this guy that was holding you back, that, you know, you no longer wanted to play for, that you no longer respected in the dressing room. He's gone now. So I'm so curious to see, will things change? Will they play a more open style? Will Pogba, you know, go right back into the lineup and look like Juventus Pogba?
Will they express themselves like
Solskjaer said?
Yeah, because let's not forget, after Moise went and Giggs it till end of season came in, the football still remained wretched.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And then last but not least, good one on Sunday, 11 a.m., Everton hosting Tottenham. That one, like I said, at Goodison. Always fun when those two teams play. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've just had fun with that one in the past.
And it just feels like a really traditional Premier League matchup. And I don't know, it feels like a crossing of your friends because you're a Tottenham fan.
So many of my friends are Everton
fans. Yeah, so it feels like a Gundling
derby.
Gundling derby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be fun, though.
It should be fun. What is also fun is gift giving, and it is the season. And so I decided I would reveal unto you what I have bought for you, which I'm particularly proud.
But we should say you don't have it here, so you're just going to hold up a picture of it?
I'm going to show you what it is.
I don't understand
why. It's hanging in my bedroom, but I didn't bring it with me to work because of inclement weather.
I don't understand why you can't just wait and we can exchange them. Like, I told you, mine isn't arriving for another couple weeks. Why don't we just wait?
It's weird to do it in January.
Oh, all right. Well, then in that case, I'm canceling the order.
Can I show it to you?
All right, let's do it.
Get a live reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
A Holston, so Tottenham's former club sponsor.
88-89 season jersey.
A Holston white hooded sweatshirt. You got the crest up there in the upper right corner.
Yeah. I went with the grayer version because I felt this would get destroyed very easily.
Oh, so it's not that.
It's just a shade darker.
Well, thank you. That is beautiful.
You're welcome.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to wear it all over the place. Might even sleep in it.
Why would you make it creepy?
What's creepy about that?
You knew it. You had a glint in your eye.
So do I tell you now what I got you? I don't have
a
picture.
No, just give it to me and we'll show it to me on air in the podcast when I return.
Right. I'll do that.
The best way to do it. By the way,
yeah.
Can I just say something? Season's greeting to all our listeners. Whether you celebrate the Christmas festival or whether you've got your own version of whatever it is, stay safe. I hope you have a great time. And thank you so much for listening. And a lot of really kind tweets and emails and stuff over the last few weeks. So just do us this favor. I've got a gripe. Can I tell you my gripe?
Yeah, sure.
So the last review on iTunes
got. Oh, no. Don't. Why do you have to ruin this for me?
So it's a guy, but he does the terrible thing. I don't mind a bad rating, but don't say you don't listen and then leave a rating. He goes, whenever it pops up in my feed, I delete it. No, you don't. Because then you go on to tell us we're kids with microphones. And you know what his major criticism of us is? We never played. Oh, bless.
Oh,
because he's sitting at home with his World Cup winner's medal. What a dope. What an absolute dolt. And the thing that's annoying me about this bozo is you do listen. You love it. You hate listening. You love the sound of my voice. And I think you listen to it going to bed at night in your lonely bed where you definitely don't have a girlfriend. All right, because she never played, and that was the problem.
So this was the segment of the show where you give your holiday message
and
to the listeners.
It's gone wrong. but my point being is, if you truly love us and want to give us seasonal greetings, put a review on iTunes to make sure that that's not the last one now that's available, because it's annoying me.
No, we deserve it.
But no, seriously, stay safe, stay warm, and stay humble.
I don't know about that. People can act however they want to act. The one thing that I would say to people before we go, if you're listening this far into the podcast, then I'm going to hand you this unbelievable recommendation for the holiday season. JJ, I showed you a movie trailer the other day. I was so blown away by it. I've probably watched it 15 times since.
And I've watched it 20 times since you showed it to me.
And people who have listened to this podcast for a while know that we kind of have this fascination in World War II, World War I. You and I both love history. We find it really interesting. There is a documentary that's going to be in theaters for one day only, December 27th, in select theaters.
Yes.
At very few times. It's as limited of a release as you could possibly have. It's a documentary directed by Peter Jackson, who did Lord of the Rings. And it is about World War I. And it's called They Shall Not Grow Old. I almost don't even know how to describe it. It's like getting in a time machine,
yep,
and going back 100 years. Peter Jackson has put all of his, like, everything he did to make Lord of the Rings visually incredible, he has applied the same sort of art to this. It's real footage that he has brought to life in a way that I have never seen World War I portrayed. It's honestly unbelievable. Watch the trailer. And if you're like us and you love history and you find all of it really interesting, I think you're going to feel compelled on December 27th to go find where it's playing.
A trailer has never moved me quite like this. It's unbelievable. This is not a couple hours of grainy footage. This is like being there. It's incredible. And I'm even moved by the trailer. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. And I am back home when it's released in New York. It was released in Ireland already.
Oh, boy. Oh. So you missed it.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know. If anyone has any contacts with Peter Jackson, can they send me a screener?
Okay.
Please.
Hey, this was fun. I echo everything you said. Thanks so much to all of you guys who listen, who interact with us, even if you don't. The one favor I would ask, you're asking people to put up an iTunes review to erase that guy's essentially. I'm just telling you, if you like this podcast, then tell a friend.
Yeah.
That likes soccer, or even a friend that doesn't love soccer that, like, you think maybe has it in them to enjoy the sport.
And if you got a friend in the upper echelons of ESPN, that would be great too.
Hey, but everybody stay safe. I hope everyone's families, everybody listening, have a great holiday. To you, I say,
take you later, fun boy.
See ya.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.